You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some
noise! Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, I talk about how sick I am and recovering, but I still came here on the show to deliver a podcast, and we talk about the new hire at Atlanta United and also some of the sexy content that Atlanta United players are putting out.
That's right. And in the second segment, we finally release our interview with Ryan Hollingshead. Awesome dude, plays for FC Dallas, has had a rough go of it recently, but he's back. We talked to him about everything that's changed, everything that's happening, and just what an awesome dude. Great vibes. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Hello! Feliz Navidades!
Hola! Mira, el año nuevo ya viene, en noche buena.
Exactly. Hey, this is now a full, we've gotten into full Latino mode.
Joanna was the turning point. We're not coming back.
That's right. I think this is what everybody wants. I think a lot of people reacted very well to last week's episode, even if they didn't understand the word of it. So,
well, that's what we got, a lot of messages saying how much they love the episode. And most of them were like, we have no clue what y'all were talking about. But we were having fun following along. And I'm wondering if people love the episode because they just don't want us to even attempt to talk soccer anymore.
Yeah, this is becoming a different thing. This is it's now focusing on, it's like an NPR show focusing on Spanish language and Spanish culture. And people are like, I'm learning a lot from this show. Who knew that not talking about soccer was a gateway to all this other information? So
people like, we like that you like soccer, but you'll talk about something else. Talk about language, talk about culture.
Exactly, because your opinions on soccer are trash and we don't want to hear them.
We don't want that garbage around here no more. But yo, what do you have? But tell more white people to say dead ass. My guy,
it is a nice feeling, because isn't it, there is a little bit of a even though people might not respect our soccer opinions, which is fine if you do or don't, but if at the very least they're learning about other things, then they're like, hey, I like it. It feels like soccer, regarding this show, soccer is just like another thing that we talk about, and it's not the only thing that we talk about. And people are like, hey, I like, and that it becomes more part of the conversation and more part of the culture. I was like,
well, I think that's like what we do, right? Like we're not like over here telling you like, nah, the 3-5-2 is better than the 3-5, blah, blah. You know what I mean? That's not who we are. You know, we could talk about that if we wanted to.
Exactly. We're over here like, yo, threesomes are better than twosomes.
Yeah, so like, we got threesome and then there's five people filming, two cops show up, all right? Like, that's our 3-5-2. Like, we're trying to, like, what we said when we started is we want to build the fan base of American soccer, but also, like, we want to expose the soccer world to a part of their culture that's always existed, but like people haven't really sort of messed with because they didn't know or weren't familiar with. That's what we're trying to do. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So like we're out here exposing these other parts of the world, letting people know that MLS isn't just a bunch of stuffy dudes in suits. You know what I mean? American soccer isn't just a bunch of suburban families. It's great that those dudes, that those families are there, but if you turn around, there's some dude who snuck an arepa into the stadium. Okay,
that's right. All you suburban families are getting exposed.
That's right. You out of here, son. No, I'm joking.
Get ready for it. So welcome to the show.
We love it. We love those fans of ours too. By the way,
welcome to the Cooligans. If you are listening to me, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians out in New York City, just crushing it with all the arepa talk and some soccer stuff.
That's right.
But if you're listening to my voice, I sound a little bit under the weather because I am recovering. I had a bad fever over the weekend, and finally it's going away. But if you
know anything about Alexis, that's me, then you know I don't want to be anywhere near Christian if he's sick, or anyone who's sick, and I don't want anyone's child trying to high five me.
Sure, even though Alexis is sick about like 40 times a year.
Never, dude. I stay healthy because I don't touch nobody and I don't want nobody touching me. I'm not a germaphobe, but I'm just deathly afraid of getting sick. I hate it. I'm not a fan. I don't know if you love it, Christian. I don't know what you're getting
these
days.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I mean, it's my favorite thing. It's my new hobby. Read on my blog post about it, about how it's like the new, being a vampire, being a vampire school, and you want to just spread it and give it to other people.
Yeah. So you can find him at sicky69.tumblr.com.
That's right. And shame on Tumblr for taking off the pornography, because that's right. I mean, how am I supposed to make money now?
Yeah, I know. What a real shame. Also, what does Tumblr have left?
I think anime memes. I think that's mostly what their website is. I don't really go on Tumblr very often because it's not 2004. So
yeah, I thought it was dead.
So I'm recovering. I'm feeling a little bit better, but even though the MLS season is over and the playoffs are over,
but the train keeps chugging along.
That's right. And this podcast don't stop. We're not going to take a break.
We don't know how to stop.
Even if I'm sick, even though there's no games being currently played, but I just want to make sure I tell we tell everybody, thank you again for showing the support and, leaving reviews on iTunes, because that's always it's always great. And I want to read a new one that we got, and it is from Dave Orona, 1829. So this is Dave. Is one of the hosts of LA Is Our House. Remember we just did that podcast not too long ago.
That was a lot of fun.
We had a great time. And Dave, he writes, he says, the subject says, could be gullier, which is, okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right. I guess we could have tried a little harder on your show.
We got some highbrow criticisms coming.
Okay. All the way from the Western Coast. So he goes, these dudes are hilarious. Christian and Alexis are next level funny, and they know a thing or two about soccer. And they ain't even descendants from soccer playing nations. That's right. Okay.
That's right. It's about time people realize how difficult this is, what we're doing. Okay.
Unprecedented. Okay. So, and he continues, we love these dudes over here at the LA Is Our House podcast. Everyone should give them maximum stars and all the reviews. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, man. That's
what a beautiful thing, Dave.
Yeah, LA Is Our House. If you want an LA Galaxy podcast, LA Is Our House does it right. So go check them out if you ever get an opportunity. They do mostly cover on LA Galaxy. I love about a lot of fan podcasts throughout this league, because we've only been doing this for a little over 3 years. And a lot of these podcasts have been going on for like a decade, maybe some even longer. There's so much history that a lot of these shows, people that have been following these teams for, LA Galaxy, obviously one of the original teams, they know so much about the league. They know so much about American soccer. They know so much about their particular team that when you talk to some people, I'm like, okay, MLS is not just 4 years old when the expansion team that I follow started. So it's kind of,
yeah. Well, it's funny. It's like you and I both knew of MLS. We both sort of kept an eye on it. We watched it from time to time. We were critical of it. We were fans of it, but we wouldn't say that we're like diehard MLS fans until we found a team local to us that we wanted to get involved with the league somehow, And we wanted to help build it, because we're like, I'm tired of watching something from Europe. I want to build what's here. Everyone comes to it in their own time. And one of the things that's like really cool is when you find some of the folks like Jason Davis, who we now can call our friend. And by the way, congratulations. He's getting married in Puerto Rico.
He already got married, Alexis. Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. He's getting married in the sense that he's out there getting married as we speak. You know, what a beautiful thing.
That's a thing people say. Yeah. What past tense. They go, they're like,
that's what I try to do. Try to change it up. You know what I mean? But just a beautiful thing. Like people like him, we get to talk to him and be like, yo, like, you know, backups that didn't get playing time, you know, like in like in 02, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that like, is,
it's just, it's so cool to talk to some of these folks who've been here for a long time. And the biggest thing that's a sense of pride for me is how welcoming they are to what we're doing, because they're like, yo, this has never really happened before. We've never had two comedians, just two really funny dudes who come at it from such a different angle, talking about the game we love. There's been things that are close to what we're doing, but everyone's giving us so much love, telling us how different what we're doing is. And it's just great to have that sort of merging of both worlds.
It very much is. Yeah, there's yeah, look, we know we didn't plan on talking about this in particular, but just even during these holidays, you know, Merry Christmas, everybody, whatever yeah. holiday you celebrate, you know, we are, we hope that you are enjoying your time with family, with friends, eat all the food, and hopefully, you know, that we, if you're listening to this, especially if you're listening to this right now, which is you're listening to a soccer podcast after the holidays, in a off season where nothing's really going on in American soccer, and that's what we're focusing on. Obviously, we can talk, you know, Boxing Day and whatever in a little bit, but you know, when we're trying to join like and merge all these different you know, just American soccer and find a place where like everyone can come and like this is, oh, these guys are fun, they're talking about my team or whatever, like if you're listening to this, you are a diehard Cooligan supporter. And
yeah, I mean, your kids just opened gifts or whatever, your nieces and nephews.
And you're like, hurry up. I'm trying to get to this
podcast.
You're
off in the corner listening to this iPhone of yours. You know what I mean? You're a weirdo and we love you for it. Okay?
Exactly. So we are incredibly, incredibly grateful. You know, we could have taken a week off. We could have been like, hey, we're back in January and doing other stuff. But no, we want to, you know, to get those diehard people that just need this for their, just like injected into my veins.
You need this. Like right now, your girl's watching you on the phone over there with the headphones on, thinking, I bet you he's talking to that Teddy from work again. Yeah, right. That's probably that bitch in accounting. You know, you're gonna ruin your family, dog. You're gonna lose your girl,
exactly,
because of us. And we want to thank you for that.
Okay, and we appreciate that kind of love. The kind of love that you should be giving her. Thank you for giving it to us exclusively.
Yeah, that sounded mad weird.
So thank you, man. We appreciate everybody who listens to this stuff, and especially during these times. So let's talk about a couple of things, and we're gonna get to our you know, maybe a more abridged episode, because it is the holidays. I'm not feeling well, but we do have our interview with Ryan Hollingshead, who we met out in Dallas, FC Dallas, wing back, and he has an incredible story. If you have not heard it, this was, I believe, last year. He got into an accident on the road, trying to help.
Yeah, like a car got in an accident with him.
Yes, he was trying to help someone who was stranded on the side of the road, and he ended up getting in an accident with another car, and it was tragic. But he ended up coming back and playing soccer again, and it was a great story.
Great story, yeah.
So I'm glad we got to talk to him. So and it's a, it, you know, it's as inspiring and funny as it could be. So we're gonna be playing that in just a moment. So let's just talk about a couple things that have been going on this week in American soccer. And then
When you thought Atlanta United was out of the headlines,
yes.
Just when you thought we don't have to listen about Atlanta United anymore, no one's was going to talk about him. We get a reprieve until at least March.
Yes.
Nah, son. Nah. They went out and hired another national team coach as their coach. What is happening?
Look, it's Atlanta United hires Frank de Boer. He is he's from Norway, right?
Dutch. Yeah, the Dutch national team coach.
Okay.
Holland.
Okay. So Ajax and he coached that Inter, he coached that Crystal Palace, which those they didn't really go well, but he is a champion manager at Ajax and great player. What teams did he play for in the Prem? What did he play for?
Oh, give me a second here because I can't remember now. But he's just one of those. He's another in the line of famous people that are a part of Atlanta now. It's like Atlanta United has become like the go-to. Like we joked about, Jose Mourinho coming to the league, like. He might want to coach Atlanta United. You know what I mean? Like Atlanta United is becoming one of those now, like, like destinations.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking up his senior career.
He played
career.
For Ajax, Barca, Galatasaray.
He never played in the Prem, but he coached in the Prem. Okay.
He coached in the Prem.
Okay. I thought I caught like a highlight or two of him in the Prem, but no, he didn't play. He just coached there. Okay. So. But still a lot of good pedigree in a manager and a well-respected player. I think a bit of a, the last couple days what rumors did we hear for who was going to be the next coach of Atlanta United? We heard Carlos Puyol, right? Barcelona legend.
Puyol out of nowhere, because I don't think anyone even knew he was a manager. And by the way, I know he was only an assistant coach with the national team, but that's still pretty good.
Yeah.
We heard Puyol. We heard possibility Gibetto.
Guillermo Barreto Schelotto.
Schelotto. GBS. GBS. I'm not doing it. GBS.
So we heard
possibly Juan Carlos Osorio was a rumor for a little bit.
That was before. No, he's obviously clearly the coach of the Paraguay.
I'm just saying these are all the names that have been brought up.
Yes,
potentially coaching this team. I mean, these are really big names.
In the last week alone, there've just been a lot of names. So, which it is an interesting reaction and look, especially for a coaching job in MLS, where Atlanta United is arguably. Has become just as an expansion team in its second year, has become one of the biggest clubs in the world. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. As far as this is not supposed to happen for MLS teams.
Just think of the teams he's managed. The list goes Ajax, Inter, Crystal Palace, and then Atlanta United.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all big clubs. Crystal Palace maybe is a little bit of a standout there.
All climbing upwards. You know what I mean? It's only better job after better job. I mean, with all due respect to Ajax, of course.
It's just insane the list of names that now Atlanta United is a part of. And I don't, I'm not sure how it's going to go. He hasn't had the greatest managerial stints in the past. I think, his commitment to youth development is something that I think brought him to MLS. And I think it's one of the ways, if all the signs are true and if everything that like Don Garber said in the past about them becoming more of a selling league, right? Or not in the past, recently, I should say, about them becoming more of MLS becoming more of a selling league and developing youth is going to be much more important. Atlanta's not going to be in the forefront of that, too. I mean, I think at the forefront of that, you'd have to say starts with Red Bull. I think New York Red Bulls are at the forefront of youth development. They've proven it time after time in the last few years that they can develop talent going all the way back as far as I can remember, which is probably like Jozy Altidore, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got LA Galaxy is able to develop talent, even though they've taken a step back. You've got some teams that have really been able to pump a lot of quality talent into this pool. If Atlanta United becomes that, I can't imagine anything's going to stop them. All this parity talk, they become pretty close to a dynasty if they could do something like that.
Yeah.
They're willing to spend the money on the players, if they're willing to bring in amazing coaches, and now they're going to develop their own players. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Real quick, before we move on, you did mention the Red Bulls youth setup, and I did want to highlight something very quickly, because there is a kid that plays for, I believe, the U-12s of the Red Bull Academy, who is...
I thought the police asked you to stop searching for these 12-year-old so boys. What are you doing, Christian?
No, the reason I'm pointing it out is because it was pointed out to me by JL Covan. This is JL's nephew. So JL is a comedian who...
He did the Trump impression.
The Trump impression, that, and we brought him to the NYCFC game. So his nephew plays for the Red Bull Academy, and he's very good. He has an Instagram. I don't know his name, but his Instagram is JC12FLOR. So JC12 Flor. He got like goals. This kid got bangers. He's like doing his thing. And you know that JL's a tall dude. Like he played basketball. He played college basketball. So clearly.
Yeah. JL's 6'5", I think, right? 6'4", 6'5"?
Give or take. Yeah. He's very, very tall. So, So I told him the other day, I'm like, yo, this kid is going to be scoring on NYCFC anytime soon, man. This is crazy. But shout out to him. I just wanted to give him a shout out, cause that was, that's pretty cool that we know someone that directly, connected to soccer and also doing very well. It's like he might be the next Tyler Adams, end up in Germany or something like that.
The next national team, he might be the next Christian Pulisic, this kid.
And the cool thing is that this is, especially with soccer, right? If you are any good at it, you start playing at a very young age. You can make the senior team at like 15, 16 years old. So it's not implausible that we see him playing on the senior team in like 4 years or 3 to 4 years. The kid is 12 now. It's like crazy.
Kid's 12. He's almost, now it's time to buy stock. Yeah. <You know? laughs> It's insane that like we're talking about 12-year-olds. Like, yo, this kid better work hard. You know, when I was 12, I worked 7 days a week, but I wasn't paying attention in school. I was spending that money.
Well, what coal mine were you working at that you were working seven days a week, Alexis?
Whenever I tell people what happened in my youth, they think I grew up in like the Depression. I'm not even going to talk about it. Whatever. Wow. I got a job at 11. Your boy was working.
Alexis grew up during the Industrial Revolution. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. I used to make canned ham, devil's ham.
Impressive. So Frank DeBoer, I think he's the system that's already in place and the support that is already in place in Atlanta. It's a good position to be in, and he'll probably be fine. I don't know. I'm not particularly worried. These are some of the. Speaking of Barros Cloto, the rumor was that LA Galaxy had not offered him that coaching job, which is interesting. If that happens, that'd be pretty cool. But we'll keep an eye on that.
So you got Dominic Kinnear, who gets a 1-year deal from LA Galaxy, right? He turns it down because it's a 1-year deal. That's kind of shitty. You know, that's like, yeah, I want to marry you, but like not really. You know what I mean? Like let's give it a try.
Exactly.
And then you got Caleb Porter gets a deal from them, ends up using that, I think, as leverage to get the deal with Columbus, which I know it's not confirmed yet, or at least it's not announced, but all signs point to Caleb Porter has taken the deal with, by the way, the police is here at my house passing by my, so if you're driving, no need to pull over.
Sure.
Because they heard this while driving.
Well, they heard about your childhood and they're like, okay, wait, somebody has to be arrested for this.
They're coming here just to hug me. Caleb Porter goes to Columbus, gets, I think, a 5-year deal for like $5 million, something crazy like that. Caleb Porter's basically controls. He owns Columbus now as a city. Sure. And that LA Galaxy is still out here, you know, with their balls in their hand, like, hey, wait a minute, what do we do? You know, like nobody wants us right now. So sure. They got to go out and sign a big name.
How embarrassing. How embarrassing to walk around with your balls in your hand.
By yourself. But like, think about it. We said this before. We joked around about Mourinho. They got to hire a big name. They can't let this fail. This is a chance for them to overtake Los Angeles from LAFC. They got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's trying times at the moment, especially with the last two seasons that LA Galaxy have had. They need something. They need to make the playoffs, and now that there's, maybe they'll get that seventh playoff spot that MLS added specifically. It was the LA Galaxy rule. They're like, that spot is only for LA Galaxy. Nobody touch it.
Add it to the list of LA Galaxy rules. What do you think? Do you think Atlanta fucked up a little bit by not getting a South American manager to sort of perpetuate that culture that's already started there, keep that going?
Just there, from all signs are saying like, hey, the South American pipeline is all right. Everybody's going to still love us. But, you know, without El Tata, obviously there's going to be some negative impact, right?
Is his nickname El Tata or is it just Tata?
They call him El Tata. I've heard that before. They were saying that during the parade.
I think you're making this up. I think the sick medication is going to get in your head, bro.
No, man. There's Joseph Martinez was saying it. I saw it. I've heard it before. Anyway, so yeah, I think there's going to be an effect, but I think they'll be fine in the fact that they already have the resume. They've already seen enough, more than the coach, the players themselves. Obviously, having Martinez, having Pete Martinez, those are the guys that are going to really be making the calls to any South American player that's interested in MLS. I mean, they're like, yo, Pete, yo, what's good? What's going on over there? How are they treating us South Americans? Do they understand our accent? Is it all good? And then Pete's going to be like, yeah, it's all good, bro. You need to come out here because they actually...
get out here, that ass. Like not that bad.
The paycheck's actually clear. Okay. All right.
And yo, the fans make you food. They don't try to kill your family. It's not that bad.
It's slightly different than what it's like in Argentina. Okay. So, I think they'll be fine, but maybe they'll, you know, this clearly, it's interesting hearing the players like Peter Martinez and about them deciding if they should go to MLS. And you really hear how sensitive of a situation it is. That, I mean, a lot of these players, they just want obviously a little bit of they want some money, they want a sense of security, and they want to know that they can play. I mean, they just want to know that they're going to a good environment, and that's really all it is. Can they trust that they're going into a good situation? And I do feel that Atlanta United, especially with Darren Eels and Carlos Bocanegra, you know, these people, they can communicate with the South American player and really show them their resume and be like, yo, you're gonna be coming to a good situation. And just turn on the damn TV, watch any MLS thing, and you'll see us. So it sort of speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think it's going to slow them down, but I also think it's not the best job to walk into. They just won MLS Cup. Like, if you don't win MLS Cup, you've failed to some degree next year. You know what I mean? This isn't the easiest gig to walk into. They'll get some leeway because they just won the cup. You know what I mean? But think about it. Everyone is able to say, well, oh, they only made it to the final and they lost, you know, last year they won.
I mean, there's going to be different expectations, obviously, next year. Next season, they're going to be playing in CONCACAF Champions League. And there's a great story due to this Champions League, the Champions League fixtures that are coming up for Atlanta United. They're going to be playing against the Costa Rican team, Herediano, and it's scheduled, I believe, for early February sometime. And they can't play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium because there is a monster truck rally scheduled.
That's right.
For the same day. So they have to play their games at where they played the US Open Cup matches, which is a much, much smaller stadium. I think it's like 10,000 or something like that. So that's going to be interesting because I think Champions League is going to be a fairly hot ticket for Atlanta United fans. And clearly this is too small a stadium for them to play. But that's their only option at the moment. So
it would have been great to see them go back to Bobby Dodd, right, where they started. I thought that's where I assumed they would be able to go to, but I guess that's not possible. And also, Seattle fans right now are listening going, I hope we take no more shit for this car show because y'all are missing an international game, basically, a game versus international competition because of a monster truck rally, which if you thought for 1 second Atlanta wasn't in the South, monster truck rally, okay? I think a tractor pull is the only thing more other than that.
If it was Champions League canceled because of the rodeo hoedown, then I would be like, wow. Damn, wow. Atlanta. Damn, South.
Oh, is Gravedigger coming to town? We can't play at Eddiano?
Oh, man. It's hilarious. So
I would love to hear the explanation to a Costa Rican as to, like, one of the coaching staff as to why the game is being played at a 10,000 seat, essentially high school stadium. He's like, so a large truck, which is like a robot, is going to eat another truck. And then fire comes out of his mouth. And this is why we cannot go to. Just tell me you don't want us to play in this stadium. You don't have to make up these lies, okay?
Yeah, it's very much. Why do you destroy cars? We need cars to go.
We have no better idea. Give us the cars.
Oh, man. Look, this is why American soccer is. There's nothing better than American soccer. This is so funny.
This is exactly why we want to do this podcast, is because who else is going to talk about the monster drug rally? No one. Stuff like this happens all the time.
A monster truck rally is going to be interrupting some Burnley match?
Exactly, right? You think Leeds United versus Millwall won't happen because a couple of trucks need to hop over some dirt?
All right. They're missing out on all the excitement we got over here. So, so that's a hilarious thing. So there was another thing Atlanta United related. I mean, this whole show is not going to be all about Atlanta United, but the Joseph Martinez recently posted a video of him with Pittsburgh Pirates catcher Francisco Cervelli, him and his Venezuelan homie, when I hear Cervelli, I'm like, you have an Italian ass name? What happened over here? How you got over there? It's like,
how did this happen?
Joanna Hausman's family came with the Cervellis and ended up in Venezuela as well, right?
A lot of boats from Europe. A lot of boats from Europe going out to South America.
But there was a video. If you haven't seen it, we had reposted it on our Twitter. But
they're doing some weird hypersexual workout.
they were in shorts that were pulled up and basically made to look like diapers, underwear, basically. Like diapers. Like
it's like, you know, the way Alexis Sanchez does. Like he tucks up the legs of the shorts. But they're doing this like crawling on the ground like turtle kind of thing.
Yes.
And then they look like a dog trying to pee at one point. And then they do this thing where they grab each other's arms and they're trying to kick each other. The whole thing sounds like the beginning of a gay porn. The whole thing sounds like that's what I'm talking about. But it looked like a workout. I didn't want to do it. I didn't know who Francisco Cervelli was at first. I didn't recognize him without his, baseball jersey on, right?
Yeah.
But I know that dude needs sunblock. Stat. My man is putting out some
aloe
vera.
That's how you know he's Italian
right now.
That's how you know he's Italian. He doesn't have that that indigenous Latino blood in there. Because he was burning. He was burning
pretty bad.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, you got Joseph Martinez getting golden. Okay.
Okay. Looking like that golden boot.
Okay. You're trying to look like his trophies.
Okay, I can't even tell if that's Joseph Martinez or a trophy.
He goes to a tanning salon, so what level do you want? He's like, I would like the Landon Donovan MVP trophy look.
We have that exactly. You know how many people come in for that? We got.
Oh, you want the LD MLS MVP? We'll just hit that button right there.
Oh, we got the preset in the system. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. We knew that was going to be a big one, so we just set that up right there.
So it was just a hilarious video. It looks like them doing capoeira. It's very 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 sexual, very sensual. It drove a lot of the women wild. Part of me, I'm thinking like, yo, the Cooligans, we need to reenact that one. Me and you doing 100%. That move In diapers? Come on. I mean,
let me get nice and red. Okay.
The ladies, will lose their minds.
I mean, they will by, you know, calling for it to be deleted from Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
It'll, if we do that, it'll look like, you know, when they have like a sumo wrestler go up against like a Nigerian runner, you know?
Yo, the difference, the, just the shocking difference of the two of us body wise would cause such a stir.
So, so a couple other things before we get to our interview with Ryan, some Orlando City news. Speaking of, you know, the team a little more southern than Atlanta United, that is apparently not considered the South.
And look, I know Orlando City fans right now are a little bit jealous, right? They don't have a coach with, you know, the storied history of DeBoer and Tata. No, nobody got them gang of hats. You got them gang of hats. Who else is wearing a hoodie with a hat attached and no shirt? That's my man. What's his name again? James O'Connor?
Yeah. He just needs to put like a, like instead of a Yankee fitted, like a Yankee sun cap. Just,
yeah, you know those winter claps that have like the ear flap and the neck flap that come down?
Yeah.
He needs two of those, one reverse, one forward. Just completely cover him up.
It's like, yo, he needs to be coaching a northern team, not these southern teams. Yeah. That's not
for
his skin.
He looks like Indiana Jones if Indiana Jones was allergic to gluten. You know what I mean?
But Yoshima Yotun from Orlando City has been sold to Cruz Azul. If you saw the Apertura final just the other day, Cruz Azul, what was that?
Sorry, that was my microphone stand.
It sounds like you killed
also a crow. A crow just landed in my apartment.
So the Cruz Azul just lost in the Apertura final to Club America, but he's going over there 3-year deal to go help him out a little bit, maybe help him win a title. So
yo, he had a great World Cup. This is what happens when you have a good World Cup. Teams buy you up.
You can't be having a great World Cup and playing for Orlando City.
No. I mean, I think he was one of three players left on their roster. So I don't know. They're completely resetting the team, it looks like. And now they got some money to do that. So.
This is good because now O'Connor can bring in his own guys and really focus on building the team. And a lot of times people listen to us and like, yo, why are you always making fun of Orlando City? I'm like, yo, but did you see Dom Dwyer post a thing? And like, yo, every single week it seems to be something else. And we're not trying to pick. Nothing would make us happier than Orlando City being a successful team. They have a gorgeous
All-Star
stadium
there next year.
Yeah, All-Star is there. Like they have a gorgeous stadium, an incredibly supportive fan base. Like, yo, this will be great. And honestly, I want to see Orlando City wins just so that Orlando City fans aren't so mad. Yo, you guys are.
Oh my God, it'd be great.
Throwing, you know, flipping birds every single game. Always, the camera always catches some Orlando City fan doing something wild disrespectful. So we want to see better out of you guys. So,
yo, we want to party with Orlando City fans. We want to go down there. We want to do a show for you guys.
Yeah.
Y'all need to get your stuff together because it just happens that just like Florida gets some weird stuff in the news every day. Y'all are the Florida of soccer teams in MLS right now.
Yeah. Y'all are the Florida man of soccer teams, and you guys need to sort that out.
Stop eating people's faces.
Okay. I don't know if it's the opioid epidemic. I don't know what it is, but we gotta resolve that. And now in 2020 or 2020, well, in 2020, we'll have two Florida teams. And all I hope is Miami doesn't get whatever Orlando has and just has a better, you know, beginning to their career.
Just like I refuse to do a podcast in the same room as you because you're sick. We need to keep Miami, inter Miami away from Orlando City. Don't catch whatever bug they got.
Those derbies are going to be dope though, right? Orlando, Miami. I mean.
Oh my God, that's going to be great.
It'll kind of be the way, you know, the Atlanta-Orlando series is. Like the Cali Clásico is with Galaxy and San Jose. But El Tráfico is a little bit different, and now we're sort of gonna have this with Orlando and into Miami. So that's gonna be entertaining. So
we gotta call that the El Narcotráfico. It's Miami and Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look. I think we came up with it first. Let's just say.
I just want to say it has a ring to it. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. So let's talk about some other stuff real quick. We were talking about Mourinho last week, but Manchester United did have their interim manager. Well, it's Ole Gunnar. I don't know how to say his last name. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
I can't remember how to say it either. Solskjaer?
I call him Ole Gunnar. Skrrt. Because he's
that's the new official. If he became the manager of Atlanta, that would be his name.
And they ended up winning, beating you know, not a great Cardiff City team, but they, you know, a win is a win for Manchester United. So good on them. At least something positive to look forward to for Atlanta United fans.
And
so,
big first win
for Manchester United fans. Sorry, yeah.
And, yo, every player on Manchester United is posting, like, just subtweeting Jose Mourinho. I think it's, what was his name? Alexi Sanchez put, like, "We're all free now," like some song that says that in it. Damn, man.
Wow.
They're going after him.
Just wow. And what Paul Pogba had the post of him, the caption this, with him making, like, a smirking face. And it was, like, 5 minutes after this guy got sacked. And he had... He ended up deleting the photo, but it did feel a little bit like, was it a coincidence or did he do that on purpose?
There was a coup.
Yeah, I mean, people really hate the dude, man. I mean, look, he manages in a different way, and it's very he manages a bit with his ego, with his, you know, with his resume. Be like, yo, I've done this much, I've done this and this, you don't disrespect me. But Maybe it doesn't work in the Premier League anymore. Maybe for us millennials, this is not, we don't want to be spoken to that way anymore.
Well, he's one of those "do you know who I am" type of guys.
Yeah.
And, yo, when it works, it works. And when it's the moment it doesn't, it is terrible.
Exactly. And it's the last, this last few months have been pretty, pretty bad. So, all right. So you want to get to our interview, Alexis?
Yeah, let's do that. This was a lot of fun. Again, when we were down at FC Dallas. Thanks again to FC Dallas for having us. We got to interview a lot of people who would leave in the future, but so far, this player has stayed at FC Dallas, which is kind of nice. Ryan Hollingshead, super fun to talk to. He was just a blast, really chill guy, and he's been through a lot in the past few years. So we got a chance to talk to him and see where he's at right now. So exactly. Why don't we do that? Why don't we get to his interview? And we'll get there right after this. Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode. When we're going to come right back with that amazing interview with Ryan Hollingshead, but only after we talk about our favorite sponsor, On the Volley Apparel.
On the Volley Apparel, you guys know, if you need any soccer, just like dope soccer clothing, urban-inspired streetwear, you go to On the Volley Apparel, and they make our... the main thing, they make our shirts, you know?
Make our merch for us, which is really dope. And that's the website you go get it on. So if you want to get Cooligans gear, you got to go to onthevolleyapparel.com.
Exactly. So, and right now, up until January 3rd, there's a special deal. You can get 30% off using the promo code Cooligans on your entire order. So you can pick up a Gullia shirt for 30% off. You can pick up other gear. You can pick up other shirts, other sweaters, hoodies, a lot of just dope stuff that's really fun. And make your soccer friends jealous. Be like, yo, where'd you get that? Why are you styling and profiling like it's, you know, the late 90s and you using old hip hop words?
Exactly. And by the way, shouts to Eric out in Portland. He picked one up for him and his lady. 30% off. Use the code Cooligans. You're going to get 30% off. And they're both doctors. So he said the next doctor holiday party there is, no one will wonder who the gulliest there is. So they're going to get fired.
They're going to know. Okay. They're about to learn. All right. So so make sure go to onthevolleyapparel.com and use the promo code Cooligans for 30% off your entire order.
Yeah, baby. Yes. Come on. We're still in Dallas.
We
can't put this one out first then because I said we're still in Dallas, but whatever.
All right. Well, why don't you do a new intro?
Nah, we got it. We're still in Dallas.
We are still in Dallas. I'm very excited because, again, FC Dallas have been incredibly welcoming to us.
Yeah.
So kind and giving us this unfettered access, which
we have complete access.
For two comedians to come into a football club.
The front office. Normally, it's breaking and entering. Normally, if there's comedians in the front office.
And they're letting us walk around, like, unmonitored.
We broke the coffee machine. We're doing whatever we want. It's pretty dope. There's cereal. There's a lot of cereal.
There's a lot of cereal.
A lot of corn-based products out here in Dallas. But the reason we're here is not just to rummage through their food, which has happened. There's a candy bowl. Let's just say there used to be a much heavier candy bowl. But we get to talk to some of the players, some of the front office people. And right now, we have probably the fans' favorite midfielder, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, you heard his voice. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Ryan Hollingshead.
What's up?
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for stopping by, man. This has been cool. Like, I don't know if you have spoken to anyone else that has been here so far, because I don't know if in the locker room they're like, yo, you've been seeing these
you
two comedians.
You think they're chatting about us?
These two comedians out here, they're just yo, they're going to make us look bad?
Yeah, I know. Like, one of them looks like a player. The other one looks like a coach or retired. They're out here.
But Ryan, thanks so much for being here. I know that you have been you got drafted to FC Dallas, correct?
Yes.
You've been here. You're a vet here, right?
Yeah, I mean,
do you feel like there's a sense of a bit more responsibility? I know we've been talking to a couple of players and they do talk about a lot about how much the academy system and bringing in the younger players is a big part of the mentality and a big part of the community at FC Dallas. Do you feel like when a new person comes in, which seems to be every 13 minutes, they come in every 13 minutes and they're quality, right?
There's a kid in diapers right now on the field doing PPUPs. They're getting them ready.
So do you feel like, I gotta like show these guys the ropes a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. That's part of it. You come in, right, the first year, and you're just kind of learning, trying to see what's going on. But after 5 years of being here, too, and not that many people stay around for so long, you know, being 5 years in one spot, you kind of know the organization, you know the team, you know kind of our DNA, the way that we like to play. So you got to just try to raise these young kids up, and they're coming in, younger and younger.
Uncle Hollingshead.
It's crazy, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I mean, we're playing with guys that are still in high school, and it's crazy. It's crazy.
Just giving them wedgies.
It. Yeah. A lot of noogies. Lots of noogies
around here.
Everybody gets a noogie lineup. And Uncle Hollingshead gonna give everybody a noogie. How does it feel? How does it feel to go from in such a short period because of the fact that so many youth players come in? How does it feel to go kind of like become like a veteran presence?
Yeah, it's weird, man. It sneaks up on you too. Like, you're not expecting to become a veteran, and then you look around and you're like, I think I'm one of the top five oldest guys on this team. I guess that means I'm a veteran now, you know? So you just start doing it. You're like, all right, what do veterans do? All right, talk a lot of crap.
Right. About the music.
Complain about the music all the time. Complain about
all
everything.
All these Lils. Lil,
I can't keep up.
Turn off young Lil. I don't like it. He ain't saying nothing. The song's 2 minutes.
Oh, you know we're not listening to that music around here. You know what music we're listening to around here? We're listening to Argentinian music.
Yeah.
We're listening to a little bit of a little Despacito.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. This is like the United Nations. This is like such an eclectic mix. For you, you've come back from a long period of injury. How does it feel to be back? How does it feel to was there any trepidation about getting on the field? Was there, you know, when you came back, what do you think sort of that whole moment was? You know, did you think you needed a few minutes to sort of have it all click, or once you got on, you were good to go?
No, yeah, it takes a while, especially with a neck injury like I had. The first couple of weeks back in training, I just was not wanting to go up for any aerial balls. You know, like I didn't want my head to hit the ball in any way, shape, or form. And so you're tentative, you're not going into tackles hard. And then one time I accidentally was like going in weak to a tackle and just got rocked by a guy and everything felt good. And I popped up and I was like, oh yeah, I'm good now. Like that's all it took. Like I just needed.
You were like, oh, we back to 100.
I was like, let's go, baby. Let's go. That's all you need. We joke about that all the time. It's like as a goalie, especially, you just need one time to just wear the ball right in the face. Yeah. And then once you do, you're not afraid of getting hit in the face anymore. Yeah. So you come out like a beast. So I think that was it. I took one big hit. Realized everything was fine, and I was like, "All right, let's go. We're back. I'm 100%." That's all it was.
In general, I remember seeing it in the news and stuff when it happened. If people listening do not know what happened, you were helping a stranded motorist, right? And
yep.
And there was an accident, and I think it was icy conditions and
yep.
stuff like that.
Yep.
So there was
that here? Was that here?
That was here in Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Obviously, that must have an effect on you, not just as an athlete, but as a person, right? Recovering from that, and how do you feel now? And you know, what was that like that time in your life like?
Yeah, man, it was terrible. And I remember like first time I started driving again, every time I'd stop at like a stop sign or a stoplight or something, I'd just be looking in my rearview mirror thinking I'm about to just get crushed, looking in all my side mirrors and stuff.
Yeah, a little PTSD. Right?
A little PTSD for sure. Yeah. And it sucked.
Which is a rapper that you guys are listening to.
That's one of our Argentinian rappers, bro.
Most people don't know.
PTSD.
Little PTSD got a dope mixtape out.
My young PTSD.
Yeah. Sorry. God. All right. Sorry, you were saying something really important.
No. The worst part of all of it, though, honestly, was I had to sleep with this neck brace on straight without a pillow on my back. And, bro, you know when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, I'm really uncomfortable. I need to roll over. Imagine that feeling, but not being able to roll over. Like, have to stay right where you are, no moving. And you're like,
was it like one of these like neck braces that like hold your shoulders?
Yeah,
too?
Like it's up through here. And then when you're in it, you're stuck. Like you can't make any moves.
Like traction
really.
Almost, right? Yeah. You're stuck in a position. Jeez.
Yeah. It was terrible. Honestly, that was the worst part of all of it was the uncomfortability. Like it was so uncomfortable, you just could not escape it. Like you couldn't get out of it.
You have like a very, I don't know, a positive, uplifting kind of spirit, because most people wouldn't say the worst part of an accident that you broke your neck and almost lost your career was that one time you were uncomfortable sleeping. You have a very sort of positive outlook. Is this post-accident?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to impress y'all. And it's working.
You've done it.
It's working, 100%.
You're talking to two New Yorkers. Like, you know, we complain about everything.
You don't have to say much.
I complained about your candy bowl just now. You know what I mean? It doesn't take much to impress us. Were you always that? Were you always that, like, you know, sort of like everything's going to be okay? Because I kind of feel like that's the vibe you put off.
Yeah, I think so. I feel that for sure. There was maybe a day when the accident first happened where I wasn't sure I was going to be okay. But even in that time, I was like, the Lord's going to take care of us. We're going to be good. We're going to figure this stuff out. So there was never a time that I thought this is the end of, you know, life. But there was a time where I was like, maybe I'm not playing soccer anymore for sure. And that was just kind of waiting on doctors to give me feedback. But yeah, I think I try to be happy. Happy for the most part, you know.
I remember watching your first game back. What was that like for you? I mean, it was cool to see. It was obviously a very uplifting story. But how did you feel getting back on the field?
Yeah, I mean, at first, right? You're nervous. You're still trying to find your form. It's one of those things too. Like you're practicing, doing everything you can off the field, but there's no way to really replicate a 90-minute game. There's no way to replicate like a full MLS match. And so, jumping into that sort of game, you're still nervous. You want to kind of get some of those like cobwebs out or whatever. But no, man, it felt great. The crowd was amazing here. Gave me like a standing ovation when I got on the field for the first time after the accident. So, all in all, the recovery too, from when I got hit to when I was back on the field was much faster than we all thought it was going to be. I think it was like around 5 months, which is just crazy for a broken neck. So man, everything went well. I was lucky for sure.
How long before they booed you again?
Like about 30 seconds. Yeah, they didn't like the jog onto the field. The jog was a little slow.
you took a little. Like, I might not get this very often. I'm gonna need this. I'm gonna need this walk.
Now we know. We're obviously recording this October 20th. It's the 20th or 21st. What day is it?
That's
today?
A great question.
Every
day is a Saturday.
Tomorrow, you guys have a big game against Sporting Kansas City, and how's that? What's the feeling like as far as this season? I know there's been a lot of success in the past with USAP Porter Shield, with US Open Cups, but the MLS Cup is a bit more elusive one. How are you feeling going into the playoffs now?
Yeah, no, I think we're in a good spot. I think the team feels confident. I feel like we got a lot of guys gelling really well together, playing well together. It's going to be good. It's crazy though, right? The season's 34 games long, and we're 32 games in right now, and really like this game tomorrow is going to tell basically the whole story of the season, whether we end up first, second, third in the West.
The West is so close. It's like
crazy.
First or miss the playoffs.
You drew?
Yeah, no, you're actually out of the league.
He just got relegated. Yeah. We don't do it.
It's really difficult. You play in Canada now. So tough. Really tough.
It does appear like we were talking about who was it? Charles Baum, who we were hanging out with yesterday. He's a writer for MLS. And he was talking about visiting the FC Dallas training and how Oscar Pereja is very much a bilingual coach.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so that's not too common in MLS, right?
No.
As far as...
There's a lot of Latin coaches.
As far as being fluent in both and being able to do that.
Yeah.
How do you feel as the American guy in a very Latin locker room, and how does it work so well? Because sometimes people feel like, you know, we talk about, you know, who the U.S. soccer coach should be next, and everybody's like, it should be an English speaking whatever, and that sounds a little strange to be that forceful about it.
Yeah,
but when it comes to the example of FC Dallas, it seems like it works quite well.
Yeah, I think it's crazy to say that they need to be English speaking for it to work. I feel like there's ways that coaches are able to kind of communicate in all sorts of different ways here. I feel like I love it, honestly. I know there's guys that are kind of on different sides of the spectrum with that, but I love it because I love Spanish and I want to learn it more. And for the most part, he'll describe everything in English and then everything in Spanish. So I literally know exactly what he just said. And then I'm like, okay, now he's saying it in Spanish. So I'm able to like remember everything he's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, so now I know Spanish. That was easy.
He's like your own Rosetta Stone.
He is.
The guy's Duolingo.
Yeah,
over
and I went and returned Rosetta Stone. I got my $60 back.
You know what I mean? I'm good. I got Oscar Pereja over here. I got my own headset. That's pretty incredible. It also just goes to show how the league is changing. Is I don't think that was something that was, you know, a qualifier or something that was a necessity that, you know, maybe going back 2010 when the league was struggling a little bit. And now you're looking at it and you have Oscar Pereja doing everything in Spanish and English and bringing everyone together. Do you find yourself speaking a bit more Spanish at home? Like if you drop something, are you like,
ooh, what was that?
That's like a very Argentinian.
Yes, a lot of the things that get said around here probably can't get repeated on this podcast, but there are...
Oh, no, this podcast you can.
This podcast I can.
No, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
One of the favorites around here is La Concha de Tu Madre.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a all classic. Right. So
that is great, by the way. I mean,
so
that's like your white friend made great rice. And you're like, look at you. How'd you know to do that? That was perfect. It's so funny how people would assume that a coach that couldn't speak English couldn't bond everyone. And look at this.
Yeah.
This is perfect right here. Where do you see yourself moving forward? Are you happy with the fact that you've been in Dallas for a long time? Are you happy with the fact of, you know, of how you're playing and the way the team is going? Are you looking to maybe start diversifying a bit of what you do?
Yeah, so I feel like everything that's going here right now has been great. I've loved my time in Dallas. I've been here. This is the end of my fifth year, which is just crazy, man. How fast these seasons go by, how fast the career just goes by, you know?
Yeah.
And I've loved it. My wife, my kids here, we have an amazing just community here. We got our people here. So everything about Dallas, I love. I haven't been playing a ton recently. I've kind of been in and out. And as a competitor, as a soccer player, you want to play, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I feel that tension right now, but I'm trying with everything I have to be as good of a veteran as I can be, as good of a leader as I can be, as good of a teammate as I can be, and take this time to focus on like, man, how can I build into these younger guys? Like, how can I build into the guys who really are playing a lot right now? So that's been my focus. But yeah, man, I want to play. Like that's kind of the goal of being a footballer. You know, you want to be on the field at all times. And so, pushing to that end, of course.
Sure.
That's awesome.
And we are very much aware and on top of the fashion scene here.
Let's
at
go.
It's incredible. We were talking to Tesho about it as well, about it being just it just seems to be a very important aspect of FC Dallas culture, right?
You got to flex.
You got to flex.
You got to. You got to. Yeah.
Some more than others. I mean, I know when I'm looking at like FC Dallas Twitter, there's, I mean, the Roland Lamaze,
yes,
the Reto Zieglers, yep, are going hard.
The Ryan Hollingsheds. Yeah, yeah. I hear you. I hear you, bro. I hear you.
You know, I hear you. I was getting there.
The Dallas Hollingsheds. Yeah.
What does that feel like for you? Do you feel that pressure to keep up, or you know, and how do you feel about that
yeah,
fashion
yeah
sense out here?
No, I'm right there with the big dogs at the top. You know,
okay, all right.
I pulled up today in a 2004 Honda Civic.
I don't move the cone when I park. I park on the cone. Okay, this is my design. Yeah. I'm right next to dumpster number one, and wherever the hell I want to go. That's dope. You got more of like a, you got like a, almost like, I don't want to offend you, like a Southern Cali vibe too. You got kind of like a skater thing going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that more of like what your style is?
I'm glad you picked up on that, man. Yeah. I feel great about that right now.
I'm combing through everything here to find out exactly what you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, so I grew up in Northern California and then lived in Southern California, like Santa Monica, for a while. And
okay,
so that before I came out here, I was in Southern California.
There you go.
I fancy myself a little skater fashion, you know?
Yeah, all right.
I don't skateboard very often because there seems to be some liabilities with playing soccer, you
it's
know?
It's in your contract. So, you're not allowed
yeah, to. Yeah. Yeah, so that's part of it. Yeah. Yeah. But no, I like the gear. I'm also a skinny guy, and so
right,
skateboard shirts
rub it in.
Fit me.
Hey,
you
right,
see how I made eye contact with you when
you
I said that?
Dead ass looked at me when I said it. Right. I don't know if you noticed this, Mr. Detective.
Hey, Ryan, I'm also a skinny guy. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you get it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go to that candy jar again, but I'll be right back after you guys are done talking about that.
Oh my goodness. So for the fashion sense out here in Dallas, what is there any real pressure to keep up or do? I know there's a little bit of roasting going on amongst, like, is it like if the people don't try hard enough, like they get like a bit of a ribbing or no? Is it,
or maybe they're like out of it? Maybe if you don't try, you're like, oh, okay.
You got to be so careful though. It's a fine line right there. If you don't try, then you're like, if people get mad at you, you're like, bro, I just haven't tried, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's not bad style, I just haven't tried. Where you get wrong though is when you do try a little bit and it's not good, because people are like, no, I that's new.
you
just bought that.
Yeah,
I know you
the
just bought that.
Tag is on,
I've
now
seen that in 2 years.
Yeah, no. Alarms are going off, bro.
That's incredible. It's fun. I mean, it must be fun, especially in that. I mean, not only is it bilingual in the locker room, but it's also incredibly diverse in culture. I mean, just because you're Argentinian doesn't mean you dress like somebody who's Caribbean.
Yo,
or whatever.
So different. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. So I can only imagine the level of the level of roasting must be pretty intense, but also like in different languages and different accents. You know what I mean? There must be.
You get made fun of in like patois. I don't even know that word, man. Write it down on the board. Let me Google translate that. Say it to Siri. It's mad disrespectful.
We always make the joke around our squad. So Roland Lamar, he's a great dresser, funny dude, such a comedian, and he speaks Spanish and English and French, the three of them.
Yeah. Jeez.
And so we just realized this the other month. He'd been taking jokes from the other languages and bringing it to us.
Yo.
And just trapping us, and it was so good, bro.
Translating?
Yo, so me and Tesha would say something hilarious in English, and he'd be laughing. He'd be like, that's so funny. And then we'd see him 2 minutes later with the Spanish guys using our joke, translating it over.
Does it count as stealing a joke?
100%.
100%.
100%.
He's brilliant.
That's mad disrespectful.
That's brilliant.
To interview him. Now I'm afraid he's going to take our good bits. The translator, he's going to be like, bonsoir. Le candebol. And everyone's going to be laughing. That's not right.
Unbelievable.
Although mad respect, right? If it's funny and you get, what is it? Imitation is the biggest thing of flattery.
Form of flattery.
There's
the
words.
Biggest thing of
yeah.
flattery.
Would you believe I get paid to speak? That's pretty cool. Like, you guys all seem like you get along. I mean, there's so many times where we speak to players and they only talk about like a select few. You guys talk about so, like, everyone gets along. And then you have all these like youth players that are like at your training.
Do they get part of that same vibe if they're like young and in the academy, or is it a little bit harder on them to really show them like, nah, man, like we're adults here. We got homes. You know, we ain't studying for chemistry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that one's tougher with the academy guys. I think it comes and goes, right? Like some of the guys, here's the culture here always is like, we're family. So like these academy kids, if they're training with us, they're coming in, eating lunch with us after trainings. We're like, they're getting recovery with us. We're taking care of them. I think there is though a little part of like, all right, but you're still the academy. Like we got to show you who's boss around here. But we also know a lot of those guys are getting signed pretty soon. So all right, we'll stay friends.
We'll show you who's boss, but also like, you know,
but also friend, like, right? Hey, if you're here in 6 months, remember that I liked you first. Yeah. I was nice to you first.
You do speak of, FC Dallas feeling very much like a family. Can you speak to what the influence Oscar Pereira has on that, and how, like, does that feel strange? I mean, I know you've always been with FC Dallas, so you probably do not know too many different systems professionally, right?
Yeah.
But what is that? Can you speak to that a little bit, and how influential it is, especially for those young kids coming in, and for the veterans?
Yeah. So Oscar and I actually came in the same year. So he started when I started. So I've only known Oscar as the coach here, but I've heard from other people beforehand that it was not the same setup we have now. And so a lot of these academy guys are training with us like 4 or 5 times a week. And so imagine that, right? As you're a 14-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid, 16-year-old kid, you're training with the full team 4 or 5 times a week for years on end. I think that though is what bridged that culture of like, this is family, because these guys are with us firsthand, playing against us daily. It's not like once every week or once every couple weeks you come jump in to a training. Like they're in our trainings every day, basically.
You watch them grow up, right?
Yeah, it's like totally.
Well, you're going through puberty. You're like, oh, good for you, kid.
Yeah, all right. Come back tomorrow, and we'll talk about it. It must be like if they get signed from the academy, they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, they literally just take their name tag off the locker, walk across the hallway, and just put it on the new locker in the first team locker room. It's easy.
Right. I mean, it's rare, right? And FC Dallas is always known for giving a lot of minutes for the younger players, and it's a model that a lot of clubs, not even just in MLS but around the world, can probably really look up to.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys are having a pretty great season. You know, you mentioned how there's a lot coming up, and by the time people listen to this, I'm sure their game is over. Mm-hmm. But how do you feel about the season moving forward? Where do you think? I mean, kind of an easy answer, right? You have to say the right.
Oh, we went to the cup.
Yeah. There you go. There it is. But I mean, when the season started. And to now, how do you feel about where the season is and where the season can go?
Yeah, no, I think that we've shown throughout the season we can beat any team in this league. And so we obviously have high aspirations. I'm going to be one of the guys that says we're going to win the cup. But we feel like we honestly have all the pieces. We don't have any big injuries going into the playoffs. Everybody's healthy. The team's just at full strength right now. So it's tough, right? Because playoffs, there's 5 games. Really anything can happen. But the way that we're playing right now, I feel like we have the ability to really win everything. So,
all right.
Does someone like Oscar Pereira take it easier as you get to this part of the season?
There is no easy for Oscar Pereira.
I figured that was the truth. Also, you can't even say that. You know, like what is it? Like the guy who does the extra job at the union, now they're like, hey, stop it. Now we all have to do that. So like, you can't say he's taking it easy, because they're going to be like, oh, am I? All right, triples every day in the sun.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been great. You are absolutely chill. Dude, man. Yeah.
Appreciate it, guys.
Where can people follow your stuff? Or I don't know if you do anything outside of like...
No, I'm glad you asked. I do have over 1,000 followers on Instagram. I think I'm maybe up in the 1,500 range on Twitter. So
heavy is the crown.
I think they cap it, right, at some point. So 100%. You want to get in there fast. Yeah. Make sure you follow me before it gets capped.
It's like an MLS salary cap. You can't let our players have too many followers.
You need TAM followers for that. It's very difficult.
They just added some TAM followers.
Yeah, everyone's allowed to have a couple more followers.
What's your like Instagram handle? Or anybody?
Is RM Hauling said easy, straight to the point. Go
right. Very short.
Go follow. Go follow.
Ryan, we absolutely thank you so much for being on the show. We wish you the absolute best for the rest of the season. And thank you again for joining the Cooligans, man.
Thanks, guys.
And also, can I give you a piece of advice?
I don't know.
If someone's on the side of the road, just call 911 for them.
Just leave them. Just leave them.
Stay in the car, my guy.
Stay in the car. Yeah, give them a good wave, you know? You got this, buddy.
I'll pray for you, bro.
No, you're a goddamn saint.
Yeah, right? I know you really are. You absolutely a very special person.
Thank you again, Ryan.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You, dude.
That was an amazing interview.
Wasn't it dope? Ryan is a great dude. I'm glad, you know, he sat down with us at Dallas. And just, yeah, again, we, you know,
he's just chill vibes, man.
Chill
he's
dude.
Just a, he's. He's one of those people that you look for and you're like, dude, you know what? Even if I hated FC Dallas, even if they were my biggest rival, I couldn't not cheer for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the biggest strength of our interviews, that even people that listen and they might be rivals with that team or whatever, they're like, hey, you know what? I hate the team, but you know what? That Ryan is all right. It's a good dude. And that's a good feeling. That's a good thing that we can cause. So, thank you again for listening to that interview. Thank you for listening to the show. Well, we hope you have a very good Christmas. We hope you had a very good Christmas and a great New Year. So coming up, because that's next
or
week.
Or whatever you celebrate. We don't care. As long as you're having a good time. If you got family, spend time with them. Hug your loved ones. If you don't have loved ones, you got us. Hug
exactly.
your phone right now.
Hug
Thank
your
you so much for spending time with us during this time of year. It means the world to us.
Exactly. So make sure you do those things. You can leave a review. Support the show. That's the only Christmas present we want. Leave a review or even join the Gully Squad. You can do that as well. If you guys want to be more involved with the creation, the building of the Cooligans, the show, the community, any of the content. You want to just donate a little bit. Maybe you just want to help us out. Gully Squad is the best way to do that. So, and I just created a short link so you guys can get to it a lot easier. It's just soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. So you can go right
there.
To that.
That's so much easier. Much and hey, it's a giving time of year. So give us money. That'd be really dope. and also you get to like, hey, a lot of people love the Joanna Hausman episode. Tell us what more you want to see. You know, you get a chance to dictate what comes on our episodes, which is really, really cool. You know, you get to be more a part of the show itself.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes even I get a little self-conscious. I'm like, oh, we have all these soccer fans listening. Will they want to hear about other stuff? Or like, and that was a cool thing. A lot of people did message us and say like, hey, I actually learned a lot listening to this. So that was pretty cool. And again, we're both stand-up comedians. That's getting to show a comedic side to this sport and just show a little bit of our other interests as well is a thing that we want to do. We're capable of doing, and we're happy to give that to you guys. So if there's any,
as long as it's what you guys want. And the one way to do that is to join Gully Squad and let us know.
Exactly.
You know, the Gully Squad message board was blowing up with information for us after that episode. And by the way, I think this is the last episode of 2018. Am I not mistaken?
This will be the last episode of 2018. Correct. Yeah.
Well, I mean, first of all, I just want to say, what am I thankful for this year? I'm thankful for all the fans, not just the ones who joined Gully Squad. I mean, they're at the top of the list, not just the ones who left great reviews, they are second on the list, but all of you guys have meant the world to us. You know, we said at the beginning of 2018 that we wanted to level up, we wanted to give you guys more content, and we wanted to bring you guys more things to be, you know, to smile and laugh at in the world of soccer, and you've given us that opportunity. None of this happens without you guys. You guys have made 2018 the single most memorable year of my entire life, and only because I don't remember being born. I think that would have been pretty memorable, but you guys have been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
What a wonderful 2018. I cannot wait for 2019. I hope you guys ride with us.
Yeah. And yeah, likewise. I mean, just those sentiments exactly. I'm incredibly grateful. And I've been, I never in my comedy career and just entertainment career have I been more motivated to just like do stuff and create stuff for you guys. And look, I'm incredibly appreciative, and there's a lot more coming. Even at the beginning of 2019, there's a couple of things already in line. We're going to be going to the United Soccer Coaches Conference in Chicago. This year. So if anybody's there, we're going to be on Podcast Row, doing some interviews, talking to people. So you can, come and, meet us there, talk to us. We're also going to be at the Independent Supporters Conference in Dallas. And we're going to be doing stand up for all the heads of all the supporters groups, throughout American soccer. So a lot of the MLS teams, some USL, and just a bunch of people are going to be coming through. So that is a huge, I mean, for us, I mean, that is a dream come true, that we get to do stand up for the people that, like, for soccer fans, for American soccer fans. I mean, that has been the main dream, and that's what we want to be doing exclusively. I mean, it's so fun. So none of those things would happen without your support. So thank you for everything you guys done this year.
Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't end here. 2019 is going to be even bigger and even better. And the one thing I can promise you guys is we're not going to forget you. I mean, at least not until we get really big. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then we can't. You can't possibly expect us to remember you. You know what I mean? I'm in my yacht. You know what I mean?
Look, I got bad, you know, long-term memory in my yacht.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm on the SS Absorbente. I can't possibly remember you.
Exactly. All right, guys. So thank you again for listening. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!